Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
No 3D November. Stay strong, gamers. Flat games only.
Nice, they're scrubbing that.
Jackson.
Huh?
We've done it.
Huh?
This is the last week
of
3D November.
Oh, it's been a flat little month.
It's been so flat. It's been so small.
So flat, so 2D. How many dimensions has this got? Brother, it's got one, it's got two, end of list.
And the health benefits are so real.
Oh, dude, I could run a country mile right now.
Dude, my jawline's never been stronger.
You know the American Ninja Warrior?
Yeah.
I could do that drunk.
You could. And that's because we avoided becoming 3D goomers.
That's true. Not one of us became a 3D goomer the whole month. Very proud. Congratulations.
Hey, congratulations to you too.
And
congratulations
to
you, the listeners, because this is another episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game review podcast for everyone whose thumbs are cramping. And I'm Joe.
And I'm Jackson.
And today we are joined by our very, very, very good friend and a man who loves flat games.
Oh, yeah.
Sleepy Nice.
Very, very, very good friends.
Very, very, very good.
I'm so pleased to hear that because I feel the same way. That many berries. Yeah. A good evening or afternoon or whatever it is to you. Yeah.
Well, hey, if you're listening the moment this episode comes out, good morning. Technically,
good
it's 12:01, bitch.
But in a two-dimensional plane, would there even be any such thing as a morning
or an evening? Because time is the fourth dimension.
Exactly.
So,
that's true.
In a two-dimensional realm, no time.
That's scary, because does that mean Pokemon Gold and Silver are 3D in the sense of it's 2D sprites, but there's time?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, Sleepy, tell us, what game are we looking at this week and other games?
It is such a pleasure to be with you for so many reasons, but a primary reason would be that you've given me the beautiful opportunity to reveal and review Knuckle Sandwich. Fantastic game that I've been looking forward to this game for years. Sometimes, I don't know if you guys do this, but sometimes I'll see like the trailer for something or the title of something and I'll just decide I'm going to like this. It doesn't matter how bad it is. I think like I've even said that on the podcast before.
Yeah.
Knuckle Sandwich was a game I decided I was going to like years ago.
Yeah.
So it's good to finally get my hands on it.
Yeah. I had a very similar reaction to the announcement of Knuckle Sandwich, so I get it. I don't get what you're talking about that much with video games. I usually have to see a little bit of it.
Yeah.
But if you're talking about just hearing titles or just like a couple of words being thrown around, so many times I'll hear like a band name, an album name, and a genre and be like, oh, yeah.
I'm sold. It's going to be good.
Yeah, this rocks.
Yeah, yeah.
It's gotten me into some sticky situations sometimes because I do things like decide I'm going to like the movie Mortal Engines before I go and see it. And then I go and see it and I'm like, well, I already made a promise to myself for this.
Mortal Engines, the movie about the cities that are cars.
What if a city was a car?
And it's
and it also fought other cities?
Yeah.
On paper.
No.
That's an awesome concept. I get it.
I think that on paper, that's where the concept falls apart for me.
No. There are cars. The cars are cities. This is Chicago, the car.
And Chicago.
This is Chicago, and it's going to eat Cincinnati.
Eat?
Do they not eat each other?
I don't know. Do they eat each
other? Do they eat each other, Sleepy Nice?
I'm going to be honest, fan I remember nothing about the movie, just that I was forced to like it by my own expectations.
Is it also called, like, Mortal Engines City of Bones?
Yes, it's or something like it's City of something.
That's so funny.
I think
funny.
They were prepping for perhaps a whole series of these Mortal Engines movies.
Was it directed? This is cannot be the case. Was it directed by Peter Jackson? Am I making that up?
It may have been produced by him. He's definitely involved in some way. You know what?
He wrote the screenplay as well.
Yeah, wow.
Oh, there we go. Because okay.
It's based on like a book series, I think.
Yeah.
Awesome. So I'm here to review Mortal Engines.
So it was directed by Christian Rivers, who was a storyboard artist, visual effects supervisor, and special effects technician and director, and he is very good friends with Peter Jackson and did all of Peter Jackson's movies since Brain Dead with Peter Jackson.
Okay.
And then he made Mortal Engines.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
A quick correction for that. He's actually very, very, very good.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. I'm so sorry.
That is the correct amount of varies.
Uh-huh.
Tell us about Knuckle Sandwich.
Okay, well, good thing compared to Mortal Engines, there was no disappointment in the fact that I was forced to like Knuckle Sandwich. It's actually a pure delight, as I expected it would be. Knuckle Sandwich, Australian developed indie title that's been, it got kickstarted, I want to say like 2018 or 2019.
Oh, wow.
So it's been kicking around for a while. Created by a guy named Andy Brophy, I believe his name is. And pretty sure it's just a one-man team. I think he's got some other people doing some art and stuff for him, but for the most part, it's just this one guy. It is a turn-based RPG kind of in the same lineage as other games that would be like inspired by the Mother series.
Yeah, okay.
Things like Undertale kind of get thrown into the mix. But I think this game is like special in a way that a lot of those other sort of, I like Undertale, but I think this game's kind of, it's doing its own thing.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate it for that because I'm a huge Mother fan. I love that series.
Yeah.
On most days, Mother 3 is like in my top 3 or 5 games of all time. Like that's a special series for me.
Yeah,
and thing that I like so much about it is that it's like particular vision about the world.
Mm.
And Knuckle Sandwich has got like a vision behind it. Like it feels like the perspective of a person kind
That's
of on
cool.
the world. It's
That's,
really, really
yeah.
great.
Just on the Mother comparison with Knuckle mm-hmm. Sandwich and how it's doing its own thing.
Yep.
On the Wikipedia page, Knuckle Sandwich, the only like info on like stuff that it's like influenced by, mm-hmm. Andy Brophy has an awesome quote, which yeah. is, so, while video game journalists have compared Knuckle Sandwich to Earthbound, the developer, Andrew Brophy, has said that the game is not a direct influence, as it was not originally released in his home region of Australia. Just made it sound like, yeah, we didn't get that one. Don't know what you're talking about.
I've never heard that game before in my life.
Yes. Look, sorry, mate.
Whether or not, maybe it's too easy of a comparison to reach for just aesthetically.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, if I am to compare, if the creator is listening, like I'm not doing that kind of disparagingly or just flippantly.
Yeah.
I compare it like spiritually rather than anything to do with the
like influences or whatever.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Andrew Brophy, if you're listening, I think that rather than Earthbound, Knuckle Sandwich has more of a what if Bob's game was finished and nice vibe about
yes.
it.
Yes. Yeah, there's actually a massive
That's awesome.
Bob's game vibe to it.
Yeah, it's a huge Bob's game vibe to Knuckle Sandwich.
And I know,
which is
maybe
good.
It's scary to have your game, to have somebody say your game was Bob's game energy, but we mean it in a very positive way.
Yeah, it's like the if Bob's game is Shadow, this is Sonic.
Yes!
but yeah, no, it's a fairly linear kind of experience. Mm-hmm. Like it's not too much wandering around in the world. There are moments of kind of working out where you're going next, but for the most part, it's like a go here, experience a sort of a dungeon-esque space.
Yeah.
You know, so far none of them have been literal dungeons, but like in that same way that like a place where you fight guys in an RPG is a dungeon.
Yeah.
You go to a place, you experience a little bit more of the story. You play as a character who you give them a name at the beginning, but they're never referred to by that name. Will this be coming out post-release or is this going to be coming out pre-release?
No, it comes out post-release just.
Okay. Because this is such a kind of a special experience, I don't want to spoil too much in terms of the story.
Sleepy, you're very lucky because we actually very recently implemented a spoiler system on Thumbcramps.
Okay. Oh, great.
Now, the way the spoiler system works is we have a song called the Spoiler Song, and we play that before spoilers are about to happen. And then when the listener hears the spoiler song, they skip ahead on their podcast app of choice until they hear the song again. And that's excellent. How they know the spoilers are over.
Okay.
So if you do have spoilers that you would like to bring up, we have a system in place. Okay. A perfect system, can I just say.
And the game Knuckle Sandwich will release a day before this episode of Thumbgrams.
Okay, all right. Yeah. That's probably not quite enough time to expect people to have experienced enough to not worry about the spoiler. And in fact, actually, the game...
Spoiler!
Has multiple moments where there's an NPC who is talking about he's playing a video game on his phone, and he keeps saying, I'm only a couple of hours in, so I'm not going to spoil it for you. And then the main character turns and looks at the screen to look at the player.
Yeah, that's great.
That happens in the very opening of the game. I don't think I'm spoiling anything by mentioning that.
That's all right. I'll put the spoiler song around that just in case.
Great. Just in case of the spoiler song on either side.
Spoiler!
Well, why don't I'll talk about everything that was in the free demo that came out earlier this year.
Okay, smart.
As its own chunk, and then I'll give you a couple other thoughts in a spoiler zone.
All right, sounds good.
So in the opening, you are playing this character that you've named that is never referred to by that name, at least not as far as I've gotten. And I should also mention, I have not beaten this game.
Yeah, fair enough.
7 or 8 hours in.
Oh, that's
huge. I think I'm at the halfway point, but I've kind of luxuriated in a few moments that I'll get to a little bit later. So you could probably get to this point a little bit quicker if you're a hardcore gamer myself.
I know the length of the game. I can't remember if I told it to you when I gave you the code.
Oh,
I can tell you if you'd like to know.
Yeah, go for it.
It's... on average, they expect it to be a 10 to 12 hour playthrough.
That checks out, yeah.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, I've spent a little bit of time on some very optional stuff that you could easily skip. But yeah, you're this character. He's moved to a new city and needs to get a job, so goes to the job center in the opening.
Yes.
Nice. Which is it's kind of a play on Centrelink. I want to say that in the demo there was even an explicit Centrelink reference in there that seems to have been taken out, unless I'm imagining that it was there in the original demo. And yeah, you wander around and then you go to this job center and you proceed through a bunch of mini games, and the game kind of reveals its system to you, which is that in this game, you are going to be put through a gauntlet of mini games, essentially sort of WarioWare style.
Cool.
The mini game pops up. You're given a brief instruction on what to do. You do it and you either succeed or fail. And then something happens. And this pops up in the world, suddenly you'll be doing something in this introductory sequence. You have to do a dance. You're auditioning to be a dancer.
Oh, yeah.
Hell, it's just a simple rhythm game that kind of has some loopy stuff that happens towards the end. But then it starts happening in combat. It starts rolling out these little mini games in combat.
That's cool.
That's kind of the gimmick of this game's combat is that to perform, special moves, you open up, a little cursor drops down, drags a window open, and then a mini game plays in the middle of the battle.
I love that.
If you succeed at the mini game, you do extra damage. The other cool part about this, I've taken so many notes, I'm just going to gush for a little while.
No, that's good.
Please do.
Our audience will be so stoked to be informed for once in their goddamn lives.
Yeah, enjoy it while it lasts.
You guys give me all the breaking game news, such as 2D games this month.
Listeners are sitting at home clutching their heads, being like, oh no, I'm learning!
Oh, I was at capacity! I'm dying.
I tried to say no to intellect, but it's been forced on me. Oh!
Apologies to those people having aneurysms currently. But yeah, so you have these mini games that you perform in game, but then enemies will do moves against you, and that is a mini game of its own.
Oh, cool.
And different enemies have different games, like a different rotation of moves that they're trying to do. And the first time the game pops up, it gives you that flash of like, avoid the rain or whatever it is that you need to do. But then every other time it doesn't give you the instruction. It just puts you straight into the game. And so you kind of have to be like, the battle system is incredibly active. Like you cannot stop paying attention during a fight, like unless it's between moves, which I love because so many turn-based RPGs, it's just menu work. It's the complete opposite.
That's awesome. That's very appealing.
It's like
to
sensory
me.
Overload.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds
a
little frantic.
I mean, it is very, like there's a lot going on. I've had to take moments of just like, I need to stop for a second. Because I was trying to power through it, but then it's a lot, but in a good way.
That's awesome.
So yeah, the opening kind of concludes with you don't get any of the jobs that you auditioned for, and then a sequence of events happens, and you are you're trapped in another dimension with the bus driver who drove you to the job center, who's a character named Bus Driver, he's like your guide through a new kind of world of fantasy and sci-fi that your character was not ready for. And he's incredibly cute. He's a good guy. He's going to be like the Dreamboat character that
people
are fan art of. Yeah. He's a big cutie.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that's basically where the demo ended. There's kind of a twist at the end of the demo. I don't know if we want to go straight into the spoilers.
Well, let's do it. Spoiler song.
Spoiler
song.
Spoiler. Spoiler.
Spoiler.
All right. So listeners, you are now in the spoiler zone.
Yeah.
Sleepy isn't going to spoil huge elements of the game, but if you don't want to know anything about Knuckle
Sandwich
going forward,
skip ahead till you hear the spoiler song
again. You know the song because you heard it earlier.
And you can just think to yourself, this is the perfect system.
That's what I'm thinking to myself right now.
This
and you haven't
works.
Heard the spoiler song. No. Let me tell you,
I can't wait to hear it.
So pleasant is not something that people have used to describe it yet.
There's still time.
There is still time.
They just gotta get used to it.
And look, hey, while we're in the spoiler zone, I'll spoil the spoiler song and how it was made. It first appeared in an episode featuring Ethan Taylor, who works for Summerfall Games, worked on Stray Gods. Mm-hmm. He said, "Don't spoil this. We'll sing a spoiler song."
Yeah.
And then when we left the studio, he was like, "Why don't you auto-tune it?" And I said, "Ethan, I don't know how to use auto-tune." And he's like, "There's a free plugin." And I was like, "Okay." So then I auto-tuned part of it without knowing what I was doing, and it sounds like that.
That's why it sounds like that. Enjoy.
Yeah. Anyway, so you can spoil that part. You wanted to spoil the twist at the end of the demo.
Okay. So the job your character ends up getting is at a burger place.
Yeah.
And the boss of this burger place is a horrible man is a bit crazy and kind of forces you to work without paying you. Mm-hmm. And when you're taking the trash out at the end of the night, a ruffian attacks you in the back lot, and you accidentally kill him in battle.
Whoa,
and Jesus! Then to
dispose of the body, the owner of the burger place cooks him into a burger, cooks the body into a burger, and then eats it and ascends because it's so delicious. And then he says, "What will we call this? Hamburgers? No, wait." And then the title screen pops up, Knuckle Sandwich, and you kind of get where the title. Now, I don't think it's spoiling too much to say that's not the plot of the game is not you going around murdering people to put into burgers.
It's not Sweeney Todd the game.
Yeah.
No, unfortunately not, which is kind of the impression the demo left. Like when that happened, I was like, oh, damn, like this is going to be like a pretty dark thing.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't, it just ends there. It doesn't really give you much else. But no, that's kind of like the instigating event that leads on to like kind of a weird, like, postmodern. It's like a game about a game glitching, sort of.
The
first, like, dungeon that you end up in is, like, it kind of looks like the glitched town from the first Pokemon games.
Whoa,
like, where all of the tiles are mismatched and you have to kind of wander around and make your way through. Which
That's
I think
sick.
Is a pretty purposeful callback, because there's a lot of Pokemon references in the game.
Yeah, man.
So, but yeah, that's, I get, yeah, it's, I could probably talk about this game for hours at this point, and I've only played it for six, but it's got, like, so much, personality and humor in it. Like, you can, again, this really feels like the creation of a particular voice.
Yeah, wow.
Which is the thing that I love about indie games, and the thing the reason I play them. But this game is on such a scope that I do feel like, even if you're not, like, an indie game sort of person, there's like some double A elements to this game, like, maybe not triple A, but there's a polish and a sheen to it that I think, like, a WarioWare fan could play this game, a Pokemon fan could play this game, an Earthbound fan could play this game and, like, have a great time with it. I think it's got a lot of crossover potential. So
that's very exciting.
Super keen to play it.
Me too.
And also, I think that marks the end of spoilers. So let's
hear the song again.
Spoiler! Spoiler!
Spoiler!
There you go.
Perfect. that all sounds super, super good. Obviously, you don't want to talk too much about spoilers, because we're out of the spoiler zone now.
Yeah, we've left it behind.
Have you, sir? So I know a couple of our friends also got review copies. So have you been just blowing up everyone's DMs trying to talk to everyone about it?
No, because I wanted to talk to Ruby about it, because I showed her the trailer, or maybe even the demo when the demo came out. I was like, this seems like a you sort of game.
Yeah,
and
for
she
sure.
immediately, like, jumped on board. And I think she tweeted something like, I'm going to be so annoying when Knuckle Sandwich comes out. And I wanted to message her, but I just wanted to play the game and not really have the conversation. This is the first time I've spoken about it to anyone.
What a sign of a good game, then. Far out. Yeah. You're like, shut up, everybody else. Let me just, you know, dive in. Let it consume me.
Listeners, you got in on a little, that's like a little special feature there. Like, you were part of the first time that Sleepy spoke about this game.
That's true. Wow.
We're hearing it first, but you're hearing it later, but you are hearing it when it was heard first.
Yeah. We're not worrying about time. Remember, that's not a dimension that matters.
That's true. Not this month.
I'll rattle off a few more spoiler-free,
little
things. It's a thing that I love. Every toilet has a little flush sound effect that plays when you press A when you're facing it.
That's how, like, you know a game's good. If you can flush the toilet, that's how you
know
a game's
good.
That's
my can you pet the dog is can you flush the toilet.
Yes! That could be a Twitter account. Can you flush the toilet?
It's a great hang, and it's, like, it's breezy in moments, but there are bosses that are, like, thrilling and brutally difficult.
Oh, that's awesome.
There was one, the last boss I fought, I was on 1 HP after, like, the second turn, and I just had to hold every mini game. I was like, I cannot make a mistake in any of these mini games, and there were tough mini games. And I managed to do it. It's a long fight too, but it was like at the end, it was like a real, like, punch the air moment. Like, it's a hard game. It's cool. The music is fucking phenomenal. Oh my god, that's my first ever.
That's your first ever one.
That's your first ever cuss.
Ever.
Knuckle,
this is history in the making.
I should get one because it was
his first ever one. I'm also worried because I think you let one out earlier in the episode.
No.
I think it slipped out.
I don't think so.
I don't know. We'll have to.
I don't think so.
So I think, just to be safe,
I'll say another one.
No, no, but yeah, this is a history-making episode.
That's true. Wow, yeah. That's crazy. Gosh.
I feel like I'm sitting next to a bomb now. don't do it. Fuck no! No!
Well, now I should get another.
You should get,
right?
Yeah. Sleepy should get one. Throw it out.
God damn it.
That one's allowed.
That one's allowed. You can
No 3D November.
It's taxing.
It's taxing. It's
you're pent up.
I'm so pent up.
You need to bust.
I need to see a third dimension.
Well, as I was saying, the music is unbelievable, and the sound design in general is wonderful. Every menu sound, it's got one of the best like battle fit like winning fanfares that I've heard in a modern RPG. It's just a beautiful little sting that somehow it also kind of sounds like a Sonic end of level like. Fanfare. I love how Australian it is.
Oh,
the
yeah.
characters are constantly saying mate to each other. Like, it's unapologetically Australian.
That's great.
There's to the point where, like, the bird sound effects that happen in the outdoor areas are, like, Australian birds. And you can hear it. And it's, like, a beautiful thing to hear in a game like this. There's a character. I don't want to say too much about him. His name's Dolus.
Okay.
And I love him, and I think he might be my boyfriend now.
Yeah, okay. That's fair.
Nice.
And yeah, the game is wonderful. It's like I cannot say enough good things about it.
Has it lived up to the hype?
Yeah, more so. Like, it's a better I was already ready to like it, and it's a better thing than I thought it would be. Yeah. Yeah. It's
huge.
Really, like, it's made me rethink my, like, my end of year list vibes.
Whoa.
Like, it's, yeah.
I mean, we've come to the point where you're going to have to give it a thumb score.
Yeah.
And so just a reminder,
yeah.
Five thumbs, that's the highest a game can get. It's out of five thumbs.
Yeah.
Six thumbs means you're thinking about considering it for your short list of Game of the Year.
Yeah.
Seven thumbs, it's on your short list of Game of the Year. 10 thumbs, it is your Game of the Year.
Yeah.
Man.
Eight and
I
nine,
don't
we don't know what they mean yet.
Yeah, yeah. They're mysterious.
It's a seven thumber for sure.
Whoa,
like
that's huge.
It'll be in my like top five for sure.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And I just have to finish it and think, maybe play it again, think about it a little bit more. But yeah, no, really, really wonderful.
That's huge.
Great
seven
game.
Seven thumbs. Massive.
Yeah, that's
seven thumbs.
That's it. There's only the seven
it's thumbs. It's a rarity.
Yeah.
It's a rarity to get a seven thumb.
I think Ruby gave Pikmin 4 seven thumbs.
Yeah.
I think that Levins may have also given Pikmin 4 seven thumbs. I gave Metroid Prime Remastered seven thumbs.
I don't think I've given shit seven thumbs.
Dude, it's because you played Shadow Man within the first like 3 weeks of the year.
Oh, that's true. I sorted my Game of the Year out early.
Oh, dude, I actually played Shadow Man
How
after
good
you recommended
is it?
It. It's a good game.
It's a great
it's
game.
It's a good-ass game.
Shit. When he falls in a hole and he's just, shit. He's just like mildly upset.
You got to get him out of that hole.
Yeah,
you got to get him out of the hole, man.
You got to get Shadow Man out of that hole and got to get him to find some Dark Souls.
I am the Lord of Dark Side. Oh my God. Shadow Man rocks.
You finished?
No.
You stopped playing it because you got bored? Because it's not
No,
good?
I stopped playing it because I got annoyed.
And also it's a 3D game. So you
no,
to
well, obviously I can't
month,
play it this month, but yeah.
Yeah, well, that's huge. Huge news about Knuckle Sandwich. Mm-hmm. I'm keen to play it myself.
Me too.
Huge news about Shadow Man actually being good. I'm keen to play it myself.
You should. It's great.
Did I completely undermine my praise of Knuckle Sandwich by immediately following it with
no?
This guy likes Shadow Man. What?
Thumb cramps for the first time ever is actually getting ahead of something that's definitely going to happen. Shadow Man is a very important game. And people are only just starting to realize.
Yeah.
And I know that this is going to sound like a joke, but it is like...
Shadow Man's foundational, man.
To Dark Souls.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now I think you mentioned this the last time we spoke.
Yeah.
Like, that's what made me want to play it. I needed to see it for myself. And you know what? You're not wrong.
It's full of Dark Souls DNA, dude.
Yeah.
It's the crawling fish that came out of the sea that eventually became Dark Souls.
I mean, the ape Dark Souls.
Yeah.
And I think as time goes on and Soulsborne games stay as popular as they are,
I think when the because there is a Shadow Man game coming out, I think.
Well, they could easily cook it.
They could.
Who's
they could.
Putting money into Shadow Man 3?
Yeah. But in 2024, I think there's a Shadow Man game coming out, allegedly, or maybe 2025. And if that's good, I think that'll cause a massive reevaluation of the entire Shadow Man legacy, including the advertisements on tombstones.
They should bring that back.
And I think we'll think that was awesome.
Yeah,
like
I mean,
do now.
I currently think it's awesome. Offering $10,000 to a family.
Yeah.
And then when people say, aren't you exploiting the poor? They say no, because they need the money. It actually makes sense.
When I'm dead, I ain't doing
it's
shit.
It's not exploitation if they need it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just helping them out. Leave me alone.
Everyone's like, I don't know
if that's true. Shadow Man devs.
Yeah. Shadow Man, the second coming, where second is spelt with a 2, not an S.
God, that's good.
That rocks,
dude. It's a PS2 game. Might have to track
that. It's like
down.
The Man 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will have to track down Shadow Man 2, but I got to finish one first.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, I teased what I was playing this week last week.
Oh, yeah.
Because there was a game, and it's a very important game, and it's often considered one of the best on its consoles. Mm. And I had played it, but for some reason, not recently. And by recently, I mean in the last 20 years.
Whoa.
A game that everyone loves who plays it. A game that's oozing with charm.
Mm-hmm.
A game that is way weirder than I remember it being and harder than I expected it to be, but still a really good time. And that is, for the Super Nintendo, Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island.
Whoa!
Hell yeah.
That's a good one.
For some reason, I don't know why. Like, I honestly have the same thing with Donkey Kong Country as well.
Yeah.
I thrashed Super Mario World. Had a really good time.
Yeah.
Played Yoshi's Island for, I reckon, about 20 minutes as a kid.
Yeah.
Although I don't think I had it, so I think that's why. But yeah, it's the same. First Donkey Kong Country, I've finished it multiple times.
Yeah.
Donkey Kong Country 2, I've reviewed on this show, but I've only played it the time for the show. And I had a blast, but...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Super Nintendo has so many good 2D platformers, and I have only played like six.
I think I've played through all of the Donkey Kong Countries.
Yeah.
What's your favorite?
I actually really liked 3 from memory.
3's mine. 3's my favorite. 3's
really
so underrated.
It's really fun. It's I think Kitty Kong. Is he the other Kong? He's disgusting, but otherwise.
Okay, well, that's actually my friend Kitty Kong you're talking about. So.
Okay, I didn't know.
Slow your roll.
Don't tell Kitty Kong I said that.
Hey, have you guys, and I hope I'm not being tricked by a meme, but I don't think so. But, so you know how Super Mario RPG has recently hit the Nintendo Switch store?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there's new icons for Super Mario Brothers RPG that you can put as your player.
Oh.
Yeah. Icon, and one of them is a Kong in chains.
Yeah, the imprisoned Kong. Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's crazy.
It looks like that he's going to hell after sinning.
Yeah, it does. Looks like he's being prepped for a sort of barbaric surgery, I think.
Or alternatively, like, it's like, what if Donkey Kong was Hellraiser?
Yeah,
it's
kind of
got that vibe about it.
Big time.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Donkey Kong Country 3, I have pretty much never played that. I think I have played it, but not for very long. Every time I play a Super Nintendo game, I'm like, these games are good. Why do I bother with a PS5?
Yeah, I know, dude. I don't know.
Put it in the bin.
Yeah,
don't
throw
need
it out.
Super Nintendo. I got a Super Nintendo Mini. There's heaps of games on them.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Anyway, Yoshi's Island rocks real hard. I powered through the first two worlds in one sitting. It's longer than like a regular Mario game, or at least it feels longer, especially the levels themselves.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of like different paths, and the scoring and the collectible system is different from any of the other Mario games. And it has like a mix of like Super Mario World's art mixed with like Yoshi's story, which makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's like a weird in between. It looks so good. It plays so good. It's awesome to be reviewing a game that's already considered like a 10 out of 10 classic and me to be like, my hot take is that they're right.
It rocks. Well, sometimes it's nice to go back and do that reevaluation and be like, actually, this is fun.
Yeah.
The people are right.
And it isn't, because Yoshi games also traditionally are seen as like, out of all of like the Nintendo-y stuff, usually Yoshi games are the ones that are the most kiddie, I guess.
Yeah.
Or the most forgiving. This one is hard.
Yeah,
that, I think that's a fairly recent like way that those games have gone, because they realized that kids love this green dinosaur guy.
But
that first one's tough.
Yeah.
Yoshi's story, I think, is also pretty easy.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's weird. Yoshi's story is, I've reviewed that at some point this year. It's a weird ass game.
Yoshi's Island has some of those weird elements too, like a lot of like, there's like two ways you can exit the level, but it doesn't really matter which one you take. And also, you got to collect these things. There's item boxes, so you store items, but it doesn't really tell you what happens with that. Which is good. Like, I mean, that's classic Super Nintendo, because usually with a Super Nintendo game, it's like, hey, you bought it, you've got the booklet.
Yeah,
read
you
it, you'll
figure it
out.
Did Yoshi, this is the one, I always get it confused. Is
Baby
this
Mario.
And if he falls off you, he cries?
Yeah.
Yes.
And
it's a horrible sound.
It's horrible sound.
Yeah.
It's infuriating. You just want to let him go. You know?
No, because if you let him go, he screams more.
Yeah, but then
you
want to
get him straight away.
Yeah. I never played, but I would love to play. It's one of those, it might have been for the DS, where there was a bunch of other baby characters from the Mario franchise, and they had different abilities.
Did they make Yoshi's Island 2?
I don't remember. Maybe that might have been what it was called, but there was like Baby Wario, Baby Donkey Kong, and they each gave you like, they were kind of like a power-up or an ability for a level. That's a really fun idea. Did they?
Now, while we're distinguishing between Donkey Kongs, is Baby Donkey Kong, that's different to Donkey Kong Jr., right?
Yes.
Like, that's a different
game. I think Baby Donkey Kong in that was meant to be the baby version of Red Tie Donkey Kong, who we know and love.
And if I remember correctly, and I'm sure I do, Donkey Kong Jr. is Donkey Kong's father.
Yeah, he's cranky. He becomes Cranky Kong.
No, Cranky Kong is a different...
Cranky Kong is the grandpa.
Yeah. Donkey Kong Jr., we don't know what happened to him.
Donkey Kong Jr. and Kitty Kong disappeared into the annals of history, gone for good.
Got lost.
Yeah.
That's the game we need. That's the new Donkey Kong game we
need. Oh, that would
rock. What happened to Donkey Kong Jr.,
Where is he?
So Donkey Kong from Donkey Kong is Cranky Kong.
Yeah.
Donkey Kong from Donkey Kong Country is Donkey Kong. Yeah. Donkey Kong Jr. is Donkey Kong's dad.
Yeah. Kitty Kong... I don't know.
He's a nephew. He's Donkey Kong's nephew.
Which means that Donkey Kong has a brother.
yeah, that's true.
Who recreates through sex?
Recreates.
Yeah, apes recreate because they make a new ape. Although they make the same ape.
They split in two, I think.
Mitosis. Apoptosis.
I mean, Cranky Kong looks like Donkey Kong, so maybe...
I guess maybe Kongs do recreate rather than procreate. I think that could be true.
That's something to think about.
Yeah,
I don't know what this DS game you're talking about is. I thought it was just like they made a Yoshi's Island 2 that I forgot about, but no.
I don't know. Might have been for the Game Boy Advance.
Hmm.
But you could have Wario, and he had a big magnet, and he collected coins out of the air.
Does Baby Wario still have a mustache? I feel like he's got like a weird nose.
Yeah,
still.
I think he's still got the Wario nose. Yeah.
Baby Wario.
They should have just given him the mustache.
They should have just followed Wario's big head.
Oh, okay. So it's just called Yoshi's Island DS is the game you're talking about.
There you go. I've always wanted to play that game. It looked fun. And I liked Yoshi's Island for the SNES, so... What? You got a face like you're disgusted.
No, I'm confused. Baby Bowser is one of the characters.
Yeah. I wonder who the bad guy is. Kamek, probably.
Yeah, well, they're the bad guy in Yoshi's Island. Because Baby Mario falls out of a stork and lands in Yoshi's Island.
Yeah.
And they got to reunite with Luigi so that I guess they can get born. Like the Jet album.
Whoa!
Jet's back, baby.
Jet is back.
Jet's back.
I think they actually are back. I'm pretty
didn't they get recently get inducted into the
Aria Hall of Fame?
The Aria Hall of Fame.
Mm,
thank All right. God.
Yeah.
About time for Jet. Am I right?
So yeah, the singers of Cold Hard Bitch and Rollover DJ and Are You Gonna Be My Girl got in there before Silverchair, a band that I think is probably 30 times more famous.
Yeah. Shout out to Jet, dude.
Shout out to Jet, man. That's sort of the main thing I want people to take away from this episode from Cramps the Video Game Podcast.
Shout out to Jet.
Shout out to Mud. Obviously.
Shout out to Mud.
Yeah.
Yoshi's Island Diaz looks crazy. I wonder if it's good. Anyway.
I have a question for you about Yoshi's Island.
Yes.
Did you find that when you touched Fuzzy that you got dizzy?
Yeah.
That's a really good question.
Get dizzy. I did. And it was also good because when I was playing that level, because there's fluffy-ish enemies at the start, and I was like, oh, I wonder if it's these guys, and I just avoided them.
Yeah.
But then in the second part of the level where it's just fuzzy everywhere, I was like, I hit one straight away.
I'm about to get dizzy.
It's like,
check me out, I'm going to get dizzy.
And it's so wonky, and you're like, whoa, I'm dizzy.
I'm dizzy. That's what you get when you touch Fuzzy, dude.
Yeah.
These fuzzies are making me dizzy.
I don't know why, but when I was playing that level, I was also listening to Born in the USA in the background.
What a combo.
I associate getting dizzy with Glory Days.
That's good.
Which is funny. I guess Mario reflecting on being dizzy as a baby. The Glory Days.
Mario consider the time he spent as a baby in a bubble on Yoshi's back his glory days? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well,
if there's a Yoshi's Island DS, does that mean Mario went back to being a baby, or did that happen after?
Yeah, that's a good point. What's the canon, though?
I don't know.
is it like a Donkey Kong Jr. thing? Like, maybe Baby Mario
is Mario Jr.? Mario's illegitimate son.
Maybe it's Mario's dad. Yoshi's Island Mario is Mario's dad.
That makes sense. Yeah.
I hate to be this guy, but we got to remember all of these baby characters, they're in the Mario Karts.
That's
racing
alongside
their adult versions. So, like, is it Mario's child and also his dad? Is there some, circular time loop
I think if there was a baby version of me that was driving a car, I don't think I would let that happen. So I'm going to
I'm going to shoot baby me in the back of the head and erase myself from history.
I think, if I have a red gel and I see baby me, I'm like, I'm going to just hold on to this.
Now, it's my job to suggest spin-offs for this podcast every single time that I'm on here. I would really love to see a Thumb Cramps Babies spin-off, in the style of Muppet Babies and the Baby
Cramps
Mario.
Babies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be great.
What song is that?
It kind of sounded like the Jetsons theme.
Thumb Cramps Babies.
His boy, Elroy.
His boy, Jackson.
Joel, his wife.
Joel, his wife.
His daughter, Jackson. Here's Joel Dusha. Joel, his wife. Their boy, Jackson.
Oh, no.
That sounds great.
Thumb Cramps.
Meet the Thumb Cramps. They're a modern video game podcast, guys.
Now they're little babies. Anyway, Yoshi's Island. Yeah, five thumbs. It rocks.
Perfect. That sounds great, dude.
Jackson, what have you been playing?
I was trying to seek out a game that would give me the same feeling as The Excavation of Hobbs Barrow, because I love that game a lot. That's like, that's a seven thumber.
Yeah.
I love the game quite a lot, and I want that experience again, but it's kind of too early to go back and keep and play it again, what I mean?
Yeah, I get that.
Some games are like that. So I was just looking online, I was like, hey, what's similar? And I got recommended a game called, If on a Winter's Night, Four Travelers, which is a very funny, it sounds like something Fraser Crane might say.
In the new Fraser series, it's now on Paramount+. So.
I saw the scene, speaking of that, I saw the scene where he sees Lilith again. And, he's very rude. And it was pretty. And I saw it somehow on a TikTok account that was just playing clips from the Fraser reboot to about 1,000 likes each. Good stuff. Anyway.
If on a Winter's Night, a Traveler? Is that what it's called?
Four Travelers.
If on a Winter's Night, Four Travelers.
If on a Winter's Night, a Traveler is a book that they took the name from. A book by an Italian author, I believe.
Yeah, and it's also a Sting album.
Whoa. The book is apparently very weird, where I was looking it up and I would love to read it. The main character is you.
I've heard about. Okay, so I actually read a book of this guy's earlier this year.
Oh,
Invisible
cool!
Cities. It's an incredible book, and I think actually
is that
it's
the book? Is that the story?
Gamers.
Is that the book about where there's two cities that exist in the same place?
No, that's The City and the City by China Mieville.
Yeah, yeah,
which is also a good book.
I like to read that.
Invisible Cities is just a chronicle of a bunch of cities that don't exist, and it's just brief descriptions of them. Sometimes they're a couple pages long, but
that's
sometimes
cool.
They're just a paragraph, and it's a traveler talking about these cities that he's been to. But it kind of does feel descriptions of video game locations a little bit. If I was anywhere other than a video game podcast, I wouldn't describe it that way. I'm just trying to get gamers to read books. It's a good book to read.
Get reading, gamers.
Well, Invisible Cities was his the book just before If on a Winter's Night, a Traveler. So it's all tied together. And it was the 2009 Sting album, which sadly was not received well by critics.
Poor Sting, dude.
Yeah. The Guardian gave it 1 out of 5.
Wow, The Guardian. They love Sting, too.
Yeah, they're big Sting heads. Anyway, If on a Winter's Night, Four Travelers, I don't really know what it has to do with the book, even though that's where it took its name. It opens, you're on a sort of 1920s steam train, kind of Murder on the Orient Express style, somewhere kind of doesn't matter where you are, and a woman with a skull mask is sitting in a booth, and a person comes up to her and is like, I don't know, I don't remember anything before getting on this train and having this party. What's going on? Where am I? And then you go into it's quite a short game, you go into a little point and click kind of narrative sort of scene or story that you play out. And there are three of these stories that you do over the course of the game. They're not complicated, but it's kind of like a very nice mix, I think, of fun, very, very simple, but like enough to engage your brain point-and-click puzzles.
Yeah.
But also these very interesting kind of like sort of tragic, slightly supernatural little narratives or scenarios that you play through to get a little more context about the characters on the train. The last one is sort of crazy and has, I mean, can we enter the spoiler zone?
We can enter the spoiler zone.
Oh, wow.
Okay, let's have the spoiler song.
Spoiler, spoiler,
spoiler.
There okay, now that we're in the spoiler zone, the first two are pretty normal, like kind of like these tragic stories of sort of death and destruction or whatever. And then the last story is about a guy trying to summon a sort of Lovecraftian creature, and it ends with you in heaven killing the souls of men you left behind during the war. And it's a really intense puzzle where one guy is like, he's holding this pillow and he's like in massive pain. So you give him an overdose of painkillers and then he drops the pillow. And then you go over to another guy that's like, he's missing the lower half of his jaw. And the solution to the puzzle is to get the pillow and suffocate him. And then when Jesus you do that, Christ. You realize that he has some loose bullets. And then there's another guy who's got a gun with no bullets in it. And you give him the bullets and he shoots himself in the head. So that was a very intense but very awesome moment in the story.
Spoiler! Spoiler!
Spoiler!
Currently on Steam, it's free. So, like, why not? If you like this kind of game, a little kind of very beautiful. It's that kind of pixel art. It's gorgeous. The amount of, like, beautiful and smooth animations that they manage to do with very little, really, is, like, always so impressive. Like, even so much as like, a lady in a dress crouching down to pick up an envelope every time it happened. I was like, that looks so good. Like, it's so fluid.
Is it like a rotoscope sort of?
I don't know how they did it because it's so simple. Like it's very, very smooth. I just really recommend checking it out. Like it didn't quite give me the same feeling as Hobbs Barrow. I still think that game was like such a 10 out of 10 for me. So spooky, so unsettling. I love that kind of folk horror vibe. But this was still pretty kind of, it almost scratched the same itch.
It's based on a thing we heard in the spoiler zone. It seems super up my alley and seems like it went on a similar journey that I went on with Doki Doki Literature Club. Just like, this is normal.
Oh, I've become upset.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, let's end the spoiler zone so that people don't just keep skipping ahead forever.
I already ended it.
Did you? Whoa! I didn't even realize.
I realized you forgot to end it, and I put it in. Don't
That's
worry.
Good on you. Good on you. But yeah, I think
another general recommendation for our people who are wanting specifically point and click adventure games set on a train.
Yeah.
Have you ever played The Last Express?
No, but I'm very intrigued.
Yeah, it's not supernatural or weird or anything in any way, but it's a very good point and click adventure game set on a train.
What's
it's
that?
Got some like real time elements to it. It's very interesting.
What's that indie game from like 2017? It was big. It's a time travel. It's not quite point and click. I think it's an RPG, but I think it's also set on a train. It's a murder mystery.
I don't know.
Does something I feel like it's called something where one of the words can be a sexual innuendo, but it's not actually in the title of this
Boner
game.
Train.
my brain stuck on the Busty Traveler, and that is
Busty Traveler. That's a different thing.
I hope it's called the Busty Traveler.
What's it called? Want my brain.
I don't know, man.
Time travel, mystery. I'm typing it in my little machine.
On a train.
Game.
RPG, point game. And click.
It's not a point and click.
Okay.
But it's like, I think it's like.
I tried to look up Traveler game and it came up with a Nintendo Switch travel case. So I'm not having any luck.
I think I'm realizing playing these point and click adventure games that.
Maybe it's like the pornographic something. Ugh!
What the hell?
Look, hopefully I can find it and therefore I can be like, oh yeah, that was it.
Yeah. But I think I'm realizing that I quite like a point and click adventure game. I think these were games but I think I think I'll struggle to play one that's not a little bit spooky or has like a crime element even. Like I think sometimes, I mean, I don't know, maybe this is a generalization, but like I think the humor of a point and click game can kind of not quite hit maybe in the right way. Like the Monkey Island games, I know they're great. Everybody always tells me to play them, but I don't find them funny, and I think that that would really hamper my enjoyment. Like, the point-and-click mechanic, that kind of gameplay isn't enough to sort of get me over the line. But anyway, I think that I got to play more point-and-click adventure games. If you've got a recommendation, send an email in.
Yeah, you should send an email
especially in. Especially if it's a spooky point-and-click game. That's, yeah.
And if you can, if you know the game I'm talking
about. The Busty Traveler.
The Busty Traveler or the Porno Mask or something. It's...
Porno Mask. It can't be called the Porno Mask.
The Sexy Brutal.
Oh, the Sexy Brutal. That's okay. Yeah. Okay. You know what? It's so funny. As you started talking, I was thinking he's going to talk about the Sexy Brutal, and then the more ways you described it, the further that went away from my mind. But yes, that is. It's not set. That's not set on a train either. It's in a hotel called the Sexy Brutal. Yeah.
That's very funny.
That game's great, but I played it on the Switch and it was very buggy and weird. Like it was very. It was for some reason the Switch couldn't handle this game.
Yeah.
What?
I also have it on the Switch and I haven't played that much of it. I just knew that it was meant to be really good.
Yeah.
It is
and
cool.
Then I think I heard that the Switch port is not the best way to play it.
Yeah.
No. It's a good little weird thing though.
Yeah, that's good.
Maybe I give it a crack.
Yeah, the Porno Hotel.
The Busty Traveler. I think I'm going to give If on a Winter's Night for Travelers probably 4 stars. 4 stars.
4 stars.
Wow. It's a 4-star game. Yeah, I'm giving it 4 stars.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know how many thumbs. Don't worry about it. I'm giving it 4 stars. It's a 4-star.
So thumb ratings can be 1 to 4, 1 to 5 thumbs. You can also give it 4 stars.
Yeah.
It can be a 4-star game.
Yeah, thumb games are 4-star games. We don't know if on thumb grapes you can give a game any other star rating. That's unclear, but this game is 4 stars.
Yeah, that's fair.
How many
stars are we going to give the Busty Traveler?
That's a 5-star. I would love to play a point-and-click RPG set on a train called the Busty Traveler.
And it's a murder mystery.
Oh, we need the fan artists to get on that.
Yeah, please make the Busty Traveler. Yeah, it would get an extra star if it was a little longer. I wanted kind of more out of it because I enjoyed it so much, but for what it is, really good game.
What was the best chapter? The third one?
I, to be honest, probably really like the second chapter, which was called something like The Slow Vanishing of Sarah Winterborn or something. It just told a really kind of sad, tragic story and was very beautiful and had a kind of beautiful soundtrack. And yeah, I think that was probably my favorite, but they were all good. The first one is a little short. That's maybe my only criticism of it, but otherwise... Yeah.
You've played Kentucky Route Zero, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah. That's the other game that kind of popped into my mind.
Kentucky Route Zero.
Sort of weird, a bit spooky point and click vibes. Yeah.
That was good. I wish the final chapter of Kentucky Route Zero had been a little, I don't know, it got kind of span out of control, and I was like, what's even happening anymore?
Sure. I mean, it was getting made how many years?
Exactly.
Like, maintaining that kind of narrative trajectory is pretty tough.
Yeah.
So.
But the soundtrack to that game is spectacular.
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
Who's out at the door, though?
Oh, my God. Hello?
Hey, everybody. It's me, Mr. Ads. I'm here with more ads for your podcast.
Thanks so much, Mr. Ads. Hey, Mr. Okay. Ads, how you going?
I'm going really good. I'm actually getting by.
Mr. Ads, is everything okay? Recently, you keep saying your life's getting better, but in a sad way.
No, if I say my life's getting better, it's getting better.
But it sounds like it's one of those things being like, yeah, I'm getting better every day, but it seems like you started at rock bottom.
Well, yeah, I suppose I did. I started low, and I'm getting higher. But the thing is, if you start low and you get higher, higher is still low for a bit. You know?
Yeah.
If you've got nothing, and then someone gives you, say, an apple or a pair of shoes,
yeah,
you're up, but you're still pretty low.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you're a nude guy holding an apple.
Well, yeah, you're actually making me think a lot, Mr. Hudson.
Well, that's
you're
what
right.
I aim to do. I aim to come in here, give you ads, and change hearts and minds, okay? All right. Hey, Sleepy, how are you?
I'm so good, Mr. Ads. You've just brightened up my day so much.
I'm so glad. All right. That's what I, you know, I consider myself sort of like Father Christmas.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm here to brighten your lives.
You got a big sack of ads, and yeah. You're happy to put a smile on everyone's face.
Exactly. All right. Well, I got to go. See you around.
Goodbye, Mr. Ads.
Merry Christmas.
See you, buddy.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Merry Christmas. It's like a month away. Does he know?
I'm confused about this. Things can be bad, but they can get better, but they're still bad. That was like the opposite of a motivational speech.
Why do you reckon?
Hey, things can improve. If things are really bad, a little thing could improve it, but it's still only a little thing.
Remember,
and everything's still
you're still one up from rock bottom is still pretty close to rock bottom, is what he was saying to us.
One up from rock bottom is still you being a nude guy holding one apple.
Dude, where do you think he picked an apple and shoes? I don't really, can't figure that one out.
Speaking of things I can't figure out, Jackson.
Yes.
It's time for me to head to our inbox, thumbcrampspot@gmail.com.
What a wonderful time of the day it is when we go to the inbox.
It's a beautiful, beautiful day.
Yeah. I'm excited to hear what the good people have to say. Now, it's been normal recently, quite a bit, sort of.
Well, it's been normal in the sense of...
It's just been a while since I've been horrified, you know?
Yeah, I mean, most of our emails just keep claiming that we clearly have crippling social anxiety, and I'm just here to say that that's not true. Buying things just sucks.
Buying stuff is embarrassing. Having people know anything about your life is basically horrible. That's no one's fault but God's.
And that's on God.
Yeah.
People are still sending emails. We still got so many, which is good.
That's great. I love to hear that.
It's good. It's good. It means that we're going to be able to get through all of them, but keep sending them in.
Yeah.
So this one's from Bianca. Hello, gamer boyfriends and effervescent guest. The subject of this is buying Thai, by the way.
Okay.
Thai food, okay. Not Thai as in neckwear.
Yeah.
Yum.
Sleepy, to fill you in, recently we've been talking about how buying video games is embarrassing, but also just buying a thing sometimes can be embarrassing.
Yeah, this has come up the last couple of times I was chatting with you guys. Yes.
Yeah, I'm
across it.
You may have actually been in the famous Jackson spent 10 minutes looking at a pen and therefore is Mr. Pen.
Yeah. Yes. I think you might have been there for that.
Yes, I believe I was there for that.
Well, last week we had a guest who was very proud of the fact that they had a favorite pen. And then they asked us to post a photo of their favorite pen on the Thumbcramps Instagram account, which you can still see now.
You can still look if you want to see.
And the feedback is, hey, that's a good pen. So,
people love the pen.
What brand? Are we talking a Bic? Are we talking a fountain pen? Like, what is the... Actually, you know what? I'll look at the pen while you read
it. You look at the pen,
email.
Yeah, and you can give us your evaluation.
It'll be the most recent post, and it's the last photo of the photo set. Yeah.
Excellent.
So Bianca says, to piggyback off all of the coffee shop stories, I have a local Thai place I go to a few times a month, and it has been a terrifying experience of the indignity of being known.
Oh, yeah, that shit's horrible.
They no longer need to take my name. I order over the phone, so I'm not sure if they just recognize my voice or if they've added my phone number to their contact list.
Poor.
It is a disconcerting experience.
Yeah, that's grim. That's grim.
Before last month, I would always get the egg noodles, but now I've begun to branch out to the other offerings. When I've gone in to pick up my food, they've been slightly surprised to not see egg noodles on the docket. I've felt obligated to explain that I was branching out. Also, the store owner is often out the front, so we often awkwardly interact. Yours sincerely, Bianca.
Bianca, do you ever feel like you're obligated to get the egg noodles to please the Thai restaurant?
Yeah.
Because I would be. I would be like, they know me as the Thai, as the egg noodle person.
Yeah, you're Mr. Egg Noodles.
I'm Johnny Egg Noodles. Yeah. I better get the egg noodles so that they're happy. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's grim.
Bianca also says, in brackets, yes, that one. Bianca, were you one of the friends, Bianca?
Were you one of the friends that
reconnected through thumb cramps?
Maybe. I hope so. It's so hard to tell.
I feel like Bianco is... Anyway.
Yeah.
P.S. I was in a car crash last month and honestly forgot whether I was listening to Thumb Cramps or a different Sans Pants podcast. But it was more than likely and very possible it was this.
What? What's going on?
I and the people that hit me, unlike my car, are completely fine. P.P.S. Okay to air.
Bianca, what is happening? Whoa. To people? We're making so many cars crash. It's on us at a certain point, I think.
Jackson. You know?
Please watch the road.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we thought that making a podcast which has no visual elements would help. Yeah, but yeah. I guess clearly, when we started an Instagram account, people were like, I got to see this pen this while pen. I'm driving.
Oh, the pen is great, by the way. I will say Uniball. I've held one of these pens. Yeah. I've written with it myself. Yeah. And yeah, it's got great action, real smooth ball. It's, this is a wonderful pen.
Good I would pal. Say, big Fair downside enough. Of that pen, though. Terrible for a left-handed rider.
Yeah, I was going to say smudgy. It's a smudgy pen.
It's a smudgy pen.
You don't want a smudgy
you
pen.
Don't
want,
you no. Definitely, Jackson. You are right-handed, but I can imagine you making
but he's all he's rubbing his face over his paper while he's riding.
Time, yeah, I'm snuffling it.
This is...
I will say also, just on the ordering things from a place and having them know you, how do you guys feel about a cafe that knows your coffee order in the line?
That came up, I think.
That happened for Jackson, but he changed his order and then they got weird about it.
Yeah.
Because they were like, why'd you stop? And I was like, why do I have to explain myself to you?
Yeah.
Let me live my life.
I recently moved from the oat milk to the almond milk. I was always an almond milk hater. I thought it was a waste of almonds.
Fair enough.
I thought it was watery. But I think there's some new almond milk technology going on.
I think you might be right.
The last few almond flat whites that I've had have been very delicious, very creamy.
Yeah.
And oat milk, it's got seed oils in it. And you know that people be hating seed oils these days.
People
so
be hating
I had to get
oils.
Off the oat milk and
Fair
onto
enough.
The almond milk.
Yeah.
And all the cafes that I order from, they're very upset and concerned about this new order.
We thought we knew you, but
why
I
have
guess
you changed on us?
They're going
Are you
in-
sick?
Yeah. Are we sick?
Yeah, what's happening?
Yeah. When it comes to milk alternatives, almonds always been my go-to.
I'm an oat milk guy, but only during the summer.
Yeah.
Seasonal.
What do you drink in the winter?
Regular.
Whoa, okay.
Well, let me explain it to you.
You're only intolerant to lactose when it's cold? When it's hot?
No, so I think that it's really easy to mess up an oat milk latte.
Yeah.
It's easy to burn that milk.
You've been a barista too.
Yeah.
Frothing any milk that's not just...
Frothing.
Frothing.
Frothing. It's hard to froth the milk.
Yeah.
Froth the milk, would you? Froth your milk, governor.
I think having the email section of this show at the end, when the episodes have started to blow out past an hour, is also, I think I'm starting to get to the root problem of what happens to us. We're recording for over an hour, then we open the emails, and then
we lose our minds.
Then listeners are like, well, that's the energy I'm going to bring too.
Do the next email.
Frothing milk is hard if it's not just milk. Even like light milk or skinny milk froths worse.
Yes, absolutely. Well, the thing is that during summer, I'll get an iced latte.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And an iced oat, delicious and hard to mess up. It's just like a little extra, it's sort of like slightly sweeter. So I like it.
I feel you. Yeah. I feel you.
Okay, let's.
This is a good one and something that we haven't touched on for a while, but it is a staple of Thumb Cramps lore. So subject, Jackson is not the only one.
Oh, I love to hear that. Wait, do I?
Hello, gamer boyfriends and guests. I have never, ever heard anyone else talk about the getting so mad you get horny phenomenon the Jackson experienced while playing Wario Land.
This
but
is
it
exciting.
Happens to me regularly.
That's Whoa. Awesome.
It is a very specific type of frustration that it happens with. Doing something and repeatedly messing it up, even though it is easy, leads to a random half boner that seems to stem from pure anger rather than anything sexual. When I heard Jackson describing it, I Googled, and this is in quotes, getting so angry you feel it in your penis, and had zero luck finding out any information about
it.
Whoa. At first, it was good to know that I wasn't the only one that this has happened to, but then I realized that, to my knowledge, only myself and Jackson have ever had this experience, and I think that honestly makes it worse.
We might be soulmates. Do you ever think about that?
Not a coward, Aaron.
Aaron, we might be cosmically linked in some way, I believe. That's crazy. I thought I was the only one.
No.
I wonder what it would feel like to get that anger boner and then whack off. Because, like, that's like, it's not
but you
a
haven't
normal...
tried?
No, because I wanted to beat frickin' Wario Land 3. I was so angry at Wario. But, like, it's you're not horny from anything arousing happening. I mean, I get it is arousal, but you're not... Nothing sexy's going on. Yeah, see if I could whack my dick off to it.
I don't know, man. It sounds like Wario was there, so that's...
He was climbing around with his juicy badonkadonk. Yeah.
And I guess, finally, to bring us home...
Okay.
This email
I'm nervous.
Rocks because we've actively made someone's life worse.
Oh, that is good. I love when that happens.
So the subject, which does give away the email.
Okay.
But in a very roundabout way. The subject of this email, which is from Freddie.
Yeah.
She thumb on my cramp till I cry on the train and make a tit of myself in front of the French.
All right, fair enough. Fair
Dear
call.
Video game boyfriends and five-thumbed guest, My name is Freddy. I'm from the UK, and I am not a coward.
Nice.
Just emailing you to let you know that recently I was on the Eurostar train going from London to Paris, and at the time I was listening to an episode of Thumb Cramps.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, at some point I began laughing so hard that not only did I wake up my girlfriend who was sleeping at the time, but I also started crying with laughter, weeping even, if you will. She became deeply embarrassed as people on the train noticed me crying with laughter, and she tried to calm me down by insisting it can't possibly be that funny, and then followed immediately by me trying to explain Joel's story about the musician at a bar whose joke didn't land absolutely didn't help convince Freddie, I don't even know what story you're referencing.
No, I don't know if you told this on air because I keep thinking about it all the time. Well, you had a musician performing at a bar you work at recently, yeah. And they bombed on stage.
Oh,
and
Johnson!
Hobo Johnson. And somebody took a photo of them bombing and then flipped their phone around and showed him. And he was just like, what do I do with that?
Yeah, no, I did tell that story on it. That's absolutely what they're referencing.
So funny.
Oh, man.
What do you do? That's next level.
So, yeah, in between songs during for people that aren't aware, in between songs during Hobo Johnson's set, he started telling, like, because it was in between, like, one of his, like, sketchy kind of songs.
Yeah.
Sketchy in, like, the sense of, like...
Not sketchy as in,
like, iffy. Oh, I mean, his songs are iffy.
Yeah.
And another song, so like he was like kind of jokey and the crowd was just giving him nothing.
Yeah.
And then he made a joke, no one laughed, and then yeah, a phone just came out, flash on, took a photo of his face, and then just turned it around and showed it to him, and he was like, why are you showing me that photo of me, boy?
I deeply dislike this man. I do not like his music, and I don't like anything about him. So to hear this story brings me
it's so
great
funny.
Joy.
His show was one of the weirdest I've been to because when he was performing the songs, the crowd was stoked. Anytime there wasn't music playing, he immediately lost the crowd, and everyone seemed really angry to be there. It was such a weird vibe. It was kind of, I don't know, like you're in the... Like an ape enclosure at the zoo, and you're holding a banana.
Yeah.
You wave the banana, the gorillas are happy. The moment you stop waving it, they're trying to like tear you with limb. It was vibe.
We need a Guitar Hero equivalent of this, where like the band finishes playing, and then you've got to do the button pressing for the talking between. Yeah. People start booing.
My god!
That aside, just wanted to say I love the pod, and the rest of the network always helps speed along the long, long coach journeys I have to make every week from work to college. Good night for now, but not forever. Kisses, Freddie.
Freddie, that's such a funny story. The line, it can't possibly be that funny. And then try to counter that by explaining it. So powerful. Love it to death.
That's... Yeah. The fact that, yeah, like, you stop laughing that much. It cannot be that funny. And then you to
You're
try
like,
and
no,
explain...
No, no, no. So no, there's no, no, a musician, no. Hobo Johnson.
You'd hate him.
That is a mistake you only make once, though, right? Like,
yeah.
You have... Because I have had that moment where I have tried to explain why I have found something very funny, and I will never do it again because it just makes things worse.
Absolutely. I feel like
explaining... why something's funny to a significant other that just does not care.
Yep.
It's a very unique feeling.
Oh, absolutely.
You're a listener of this podcast, right now, pause it, go speak to your significant other and explain why you like
Explain the funniest part of this episode to them and see what response you get.
Try and explain the busty traveler to a loved one and they will commit you.
We're going to lose a lot of listeners.
I've hit a point where if I find myself in that situation where I'm explaining something to my partner that I think is funny but I realize I'm getting nothing, I just stop.
Yeah.
Halfway through, I'm like, actually, you know what? Doesn't matter. You don't need to know this.
I've started doing it with friends sometimes too, where I'll be talking and then I was like, I'll just be like, you know what? Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. You don't need the rest of the sentence. It's not worth it.
And occasionally they try and be kind and be like, no, I want to hear them.
You're
you really don't.
It's just not worth your time.
Just abandon. Yeah. Just get out of there.
Yeah. Sometimes you can pull the plug.
Yeah. Well, that's the end of the email section. Speaking of pulling the plug, not forever, just for today. But that does bring us to the second most dangerous part of thumb cramps.
Oh, big time. Because if you give Thumb Cramps a 5-star review on the podcast app of your choice, you can do it right now. You get open your podcast app, review, 5 stars. And if there's a place where you can write something, a little review, you write it in there. And as long as you've given us 5 stars, we will read it out.
And we will
see it. I'm doing it right now.
Sleepy's doing it right now.
The podcast 5 stars on my podcast app of choice.
That's huge.
You're, a couple of guests have reviewed the podcast, most famously, and I guess most recently, Ruby revealing that one time whilst guesting on the podcast, she got her period.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
And possibly in the review, she said that might happen if you're listening,
too. Yeah, because she's aware of a second person that listened to that episode that got their period whilst listening
maybe
to
Maybe it's just that episode.
So,
we don't know.
Yeah. Maybe if you listen to that one episode, you sync up with Ruby. I don't know.
Yeah.
Thumb cramps is good.
Yeah. man, I reckon it is too.
Yeah, thumb cramps, it's all right. Get your period with thumb cramps.
Thumb cramps is good. Yeah.
Thumb cramps and period cramps.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So this review is from Stevie P.
Cool name.
Great name. Wish my name was Stevie P.
Me too.
The subject of the review is review, and Stevie P's hit us with 5 stars.
Thank you, Stevie P.
And the review just says, imagine if a couple of goons started a podcast that was actually kind of all right. Well, this podcast has the goon part down to a T. They sometimes talk about video games, but mainly they talk about dicks and nuts and pussies without effing or jeffing, and that's all right.
Yeah, that is all right. Mm-hmm. We are goons, dude. We're gooning. But not gooning like the internet does, where they whack off or they edge themselves to such a degree that they enter sort of state of, bliss. Or
yeah,
whatever.
Okay, so that's what that is. Because I did not understand.
So to goon, you got to set up a lot of like video, like screens with pornography playing on them.
Okay.
And you just edge yourself for like up to like 8 hours. Like
sometimes longer. And the term goon comes from the fact that you get so horny and, I guess, sensory overloaded from being super horny and seeing so much pornography that you get dumb.
Yeah, you goon yourself.
Oh,
wow. And that's gooning.
Yeah.
I've never tried it. I don't have the time, frankly. Seems like very time intensive.
Well, I've never once jerked off, so this is not going to be the way that I start.
Can I say it's pretty good? I'd say it's one of the top 5
I'll take your
things.
Word for it, baby.
And this review is from Danny. Yeah. Danny, 5 stars. No subject, but the review just says brain hurts like horse head kick, but not horse. It was thumb cramps.
I don't know. I think it might have been the horse.
So if you want to leave us a review, hit us up. However you're listening to the podcast, there will be a review function.
Yes.
If it just lets you give 5 stars, give 5 stars. If it lets you write a review, write a review.
Write a review. We'll read it out.
We will read it. And if it's not read on the show, we have read it in our private time.
Exactly. You can send us a message that way. coded or otherwise.
And again, if you want to send us an email, you can hit us up at thumbcrampspod@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Instagram at thumbcrampspod, where you can see a photo of last week's very good pen.
Yeah, if you want to see the pen, the big pen, that's the place to go and do it.
And I feel no shame in revealing that we got like 15 to 20 more followers in the like moments after that episode went live, which means that a lot of people were like,
I gotta see this pen.
And then they must have liked the pen because they gave us a follow.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I could send awesome. You guys, if you want to keep that train rolling, I got a pen that I like too, yeah. That I'll send you.
Yeah. Send us a pen.
Sleepy, if you could send us a photo of your favorite pen and I'll chuck it at the end of the...
Currently, we're operating on the idea that one pen equals 20 new followers.
Yeah.
So yeah,
let's do some science here.
If you've got two pens and we can try for 40... You know,
I got two pens. Yeah, I could try.
Let's give that a crack.
Let us know which is your favorite and which is your second favorite.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Just so we know how to order them. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And, also, listeners, like the review system. If you do have an Instagram account, give us a follow, because Thumbcramps in itself, with the amount of listeners we get, the amount of social media engagement, and the amount of 5-star reviews all of a sudden we're getting, game companies are taking notice of us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's funny to do that to them, so keep it coming.
And then you'll find us on like the main stage of E3 or something, and they'll be like, you can know that you were part of that.
Yeah, exactly.
I wrecked the video game industry by listening to Thumbcramps.
I put these buffoons on stage, exactly.
And look, that's our buffoon talk done, but... Mm-hmm. Sleepy Nice, as the sensible guest, the sensible member of this trio, where can people find you?
You can very sensibly locate me on the application X.
Oh,
you can
find
me at sleepy_nice. It's coming up to the nice list season, so I'll be rolling out my favorite games probably in the next couple of weeks. I think after I finish Knuckle Sandwich, we'll see how I feel, but I think I've kind of got the list done. Otherwise, you can also find the music that I make under the name Lore Spinner, LoreSpinner. You can find me on Instagram and Bandcamp for that. I just put out a little Halloween flavored EP that was built out of some piano improvisations that I'd done. It's very like low key, little bit spooky. There's a little RPG supplement with it, as well as all of my releases have.
That's very exciting. That rocks.
That's sick. Yeah. Are you still releasing a cassette for the first three Lore Spinner releases?
Yep, that's in the works. That'll come next year. I think that, I mean, I might as well, let's just do the announcement. I think we're going to do, I'm doing it through a label called Fantasy Audio Magazine, who put out a lot of dungeon synth adjacent RPG content.
Hell yeah.
That rocks.
And they want to do a Kickstarter for the release of these three EPs. Just a low-key one, not like a crazy big one, but just to fund like a nice special edition of the RPG book and the cassette tape. And so I think I'll be announcing that hopefully pretty soon.
That's exciting. Yeah.
Well, when that goes live, make sure you send us a link to it and we will post it all over.
Yeah, we'll put it everywhere.
Absolutely.
Baby.
Yeah, of course.
And that brings today's episode to a close.
Yeah. Time to go for another week.
And congratulations to all our listeners and to ourselves. Mm. We have finished No 3D November.
We did it. No 3D Goomers inside,
Not
dude.
A single Goomer to be found. 3D Goomer.
3D Goomer.
We're 2D Goomers.
Obviously, we're just in general Goomers. But we're not 3D
anyway,
Goomers.
It's...
But not Gooners.
No, we're not Gooners because we don't have the time. But we are Goomers because we do have the time.
So congratulations, listeners. You can now go whack off your dick or pussy to 3D games.
Enjoy.
See you next week.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.